Our sermon passage, sermon text this morning is Philippians chapter 2. And so I invite you all to turn there to Philippians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'm going to ask you a question. What kinds of things do you complain about? I'm not going to ask you, do you complain? I'm going to ask you, what kinds of things do you complain about? This is one of those sins that I think we all have to own. It's all something that we struggle with to one degree or another. And so as we look at God's Word this morning, I want you to have your particular issues in mind. What are the things that make you grit your teeth? What are the things that make you punch the steering wheel? What are the things that make you raise your voice in frustration? What are those things that you complain about? And let's see how God's Word deals with them this morning. But overall, this sermon, I want to hang this question. Does God view that? Does he view our grumbling and complaining as serious? I mean, is it really that big of a deal? Now, with that in mind, let's stand together out of reverence for God's Word. And I'll read Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. These are the words of God. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Pray with me. Lord God, we come now and ask that you would, by your word and spirit, instruct us and teach us, that you would sanctify us by your truth, for your word is truth. Mold us and shape us to become more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to us now, we pray. In his name, amen. Please be seated. Does God view our grumbling and complaining as serious? Is it really that big of a deal? Just so we have an idea of what this grumbling and complaining is that I'm talking about this morning, I want to give you a brief definition of what I'm talking about. It's a sinful expression in thought, word, or action of resentment, grief, and dissatisfaction. It's a sinful expression. I think there's some complaints that can be godly and good, but it's a sinful expression. This is what's forbidden. A sinful expression in thought, in word, or in action of resentment, grief, and dissatisfaction. And now the big question that we're, by God's grace, going to answer. Does God view our grumbling and complaining, does he view that as serious? Is it really that big of a deal? Now, in order to answer that, I'm going to ask five questions. And the first question is this. Does our grumbling and complaining dishonor God? Does it dishonor God? And the answer is yes. It dishonors God. Paul says in verse 14, do all things without grumbling or questioning. Does it dishonor God? Yes. Now, one of the ways we can understand that is this. All disobedience dishonors God. Grumbling and complaining is disobedience. Therefore, grumbling and complaining dishonors God. It's a very straightforward way to understand it. But I think grumbling and complaining, in a peculiar way, dishonors God. Because it attacks various aspects of his character and nature. I think if we were to trace all of our grumbling and complaining, and if we were to trace it up high enough, most, if not all, of our complaining would ultimately be against God. That's one of the things Moses told the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness in Exodus 16. They grumbled and complained against Moses and against Aaron. And Moses tells the people, "Who are we that you should grumble against us? Your complaint isn't against us. Your complaint is against God." Well, I think most, if not all, of our complaining, if we traced it up high enough, we could see that it is against God. And so it dishonors God, His character and His nature. And we see that particularly in three ways. When we grumble and complain, we dishonor God, firstly, as our Creator. We dishonor God as our Creator. Now, this is especially true whenever we grumble and complain about ourselves, the way God made us. David says in Psalm 139:13, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My salvation knows it very well." How hard is it for us in this culture to believe that verse? How many millions of dollars, or how many hundreds of millions of dollars, are spent every year all aimed to make you and me doubt that verse? To complain against God and to dishonor God as our Creator. Now, there's 100 questions that I'm going to have to leave with you. If you're thinking faster than I can talk, you're probably saying things like, "Well, are you saying it's sinful to get braces? Are you saying it's wrong to dye your hair?" I'm going to leave you in the hands of the Holy Spirit, speaking to you through the Scriptures about those things. But one thing I do know is wrong is grumbling and complaining. You see, whenever we think about ourselves, particularly the way God's made us, He doesn't want us to complain. He wants us to worship. I imagine that it grieves the heart of God whenever His children do that. God doesn't want us to grumble and complain. He wants us to worship. He wants us to say with David, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." If Christians believe that verse, how much advertising would probably go bankrupt? But that's a sweet truth that we have in Scripture. And when we grumble and complain, we dishonor God as our Creator. We also, secondly, dishonor God as our Sovereign Lord. And I think this is especially true whenever we complain about circumstances, events that we don't understand or that we don't agree with. Because if God really is the Sovereign Lord of the universe, then all people, all events, all circumstances are under His control. And so when we complain about those things, what we're really doing is we're complaining about God, and we're really calling into question His wisdom, aren't we? We're saying, "God, if you were really wise, you would fill in the blank." So when we grumble and complain, we dishonor God as our Sovereign Lord. And thirdly, we dishonor Him as our Heavenly Father. Because here, we're complaining about the circumstances and the events, but what we're really calling into question here is His goodness, aren't we? "God, if you really loved me, if you really cared about me, then you would fill in the blank. Or you would not fill in the blank." Does our grumbling and complaining dishonor God? Yes, it does. Now, a question that maybe some of you have, is it ever okay to complain to God? Is it ever okay to voice our grievances to God? And I'm going to say yes, if. It may be okay. It may not be. I think we see that kind of thing in the Psalms. We see the psalmist crying out to God, "Why, God?" Or, "How long, O Lord?" What's he doing? He's voicing his concern, his complaint to God. So there's times when it's okay. Well, how do you know if you're doing it in a godly way? Let me give you one question to ask. There's a lot of ways that we could could look at this, but just for the sake of time, I'll give you one question to ask yourself. What is your goal in voicing your complaint to God? What's your goal? Do you want to find comfort and rest in God? Do you want to have your faith, hope, and love strengthened by God? Is your goal to get to the point where you can humbly resign yourself to Him and His will? Or are you simply wanting to vent? Are you simply just wanting to get things off of your chest? Are you simply just wanting to tell God how angry you are at Him? I think that God invites us to come and wrestle with these things in His presence. I mean, He knows our thoughts. He knows our anxious thoughts. He knows our complaints. So I think He wants us to come to Him and wrestle with these things before His face, in His presence, with the goal, not simply to vent, but with the goal ultimately to worship and to praise and to say, God, not my will, but Thy will. I don't understand, but I'm going to resign myself to You and Your fatherly care. Anything less is grumbling and complaining, and that dishonors God. So now the second question, does our grumbling and complaining harm others? We've seen that it dishonors God. Does it harm others? And the answer is yes, it does. How? I think there's two ways at least. First, it disrupts our Christian unity. I mean, that's kind of a common sense observation. It disrupts our Christian unity. One of the things that this passage has behind it, underneath it, around it, is this emphasis that Paul has been pressing home upon his hearers, upon us, for the need for Christian unity. Stand firm in one spirit, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Be united in one mind, in one spirit. Those are the things that he's been telling them. He's very much concerned that this church would be united. And he knows that if there's one thing that will disrupt that, it's grumbling and complaining. It certainly harms other people because it disrupts our Christian unity. But secondly, it also disheartens our brothers and sisters. It disheartens them. And that's what we saw in Numbers. The spies go into the land, then they come back, and 10 of the spies give a bad report. And because of that, grumbling and complaining starts to spread through the camp. They become disheartened. They're no longer eager to go and conquer the land. They want to get a leader to go back to slavery. I mean, think of how crazy that is. They've been delivered from Egypt miraculously, where they were in total and complete bondage. They're on their way to the promised land, and when they're faced with the choice, do we press ahead or go back, they say, give us a leader and take us back to Egypt to slavery. What could possibly drive them to make that kind of insane decision? Grumbling and complaining was part of it. It disheartened them. Whenever we grumble and complain, it affects our brothers and sisters around us so that it kills their perseverance. It kills their endurance. It kills their joy. It kills their hope. Does grumbling and complaining harm others? Yes, it does. So now here's another question for you thinkers. Is it ever okay to complain to others? And I'll say yes, if. Or yes, but. I would be careful with complaining about other people because that will probably lead to sin, anger, gossip. But it may be okay to complain to another person about him or her. How do you do it? Well, I'll ask you the same question. What's your goal? What's your goal when you do this or when you want to do it? Do you want to build the person up or do you want to tear the person down? Do you want to speak the truth in love or do you simply want to speak your mind? Do you want to see them grow up in Christ-likeness or do you just want to see them put down? Do you desire closer unity with that person or do you just want to vent your resentment? Have you pulled the plank out of your own eye before reaching for the speck in your brother's? Are you doing this because of your love for them or because of your love for you? Can you speak in conformity to what Paul says in Ephesians 4:29? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Will it give grace? If not, don't do it, because that's grumbling and complaining. Just this morning, I had to confess to my children about grumbling and complaining. Now, here I am. I'm a pastor. I've been studying grumbling and complaining all week. I should have this down pat, right? This should be one of those sins that I don't have to worry about anymore. But here I was this morning, and if you'll permit me just to say this, my children, the house wasn't clean to my liking. And so what I did is I look at this house, how dirty it is. Why didn't y'all clean it up the way I wanted you to? Now, there would have been a godly way to do that. But at that moment, I wasn't concerned about being godly. I just wanted to vent. I was angry, and I wanted them to know that. You see, what I was doing at that moment, I wasn't trying to build them up. I wasn't trying to help them. I wasn't trying to correct them in a godly way. I just wanted to get that off my chest. I was angry, and I wanted them to know. And I had to ask for forgiveness just this morning. Our grumbling and complaining harms other people. So we have to be very careful when we do that and think of that. If what we're going to say doesn't minister grace to those who hear, then refrain from saying it. So now a third question. Does our grumbling and complaining harm us? It dishonors God. It harms other people. Now, does it harm us? And for some of us who are more self-centered, this is the kind of thing we want to hear. Okay, if it messes with me, now I'm ready to hear. So it does harm us, yes. And it does so in three ways. First of all, it stunts our Christian growth. It stunts our Christian growth. Verse 14, when Paul says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, in context, he's just commanded them to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. We looked at that last week. And many have seen the connection between that command in verse 12, working out your salvation, and verse 14, do all things without grumbling or questioning. Meaning, one of the ways that we work out our salvation, one of the ways, the manner in which we work out salvation, our salvation, is by avoiding grumbling and complaining. So when we grumble and complain, it stunts that working out of our salvation. It stunts our Christian growth. Here in verse 15, Paul says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, in order that, is what it literally says, in order that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, these virtues are ours in Christ, but these virtues are also ones that we are to grow up into by God's grace. And the implication is, if we grumble and complain, it will stunt that growth. We won't be able to grow up into these virtues. So it stunts our Christian growth. Secondly, it hinders our Christian walk. Paul says in verse 14, do all things without grumbling or questioning. And as I meditated on that passage, I said, you know, there's other places where Paul tells us to do all things in a certain way. In other words, Paul takes a step back and he looks at the entirety of the Christian life and he says, if you want to characterize what manner the Christian life should have, it's this. And he does that in a couple of places. In Colossians 3:17, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So when Paul steps back and takes a look at the entire Christian life, he says, everything that we do should be done in the name of Christ with thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things how? To the glory of God. So when Paul looks at the entirety of the Christian life, he says everything you do, no matter what, should be done to the glory of God. That's what the Christian walk is about. Doing things in the name of Christ, doing things with thanksgiving, doing things to the glory of God, and here, doing things without grumbling and complaining. If we grumble and complain, it hinders our Christian walk, doesn't it? We certainly can't do things with thanksgiving. We certainly can't do everything to the glory of God. So it hinders our Christian walk. It stunts our growth, hinders our walk. Thirdly, it creates distance from God rather than nearness to God. I mean, after all, when we talk about our Christian growth, when we talk about our Christian walk, when we talk about obedience, ultimately what we're talking about is a relationship with God. And grumbling and complaining doesn't bring us nearer to God. It doesn't strengthen and nourish that relationship. It creates distance. So when we grumble and complain, it harms us. That's the third question. Now the fourth question. Does our grumbling and complaining hurt our witness? It dishonors God, it harms others, it harms us. Does it hurt our witness? And again, the answer is yes. It does hurt our witness in two ways. First of all, it contradicts our witness of who we are in Christ. It contradicts our witness of who we are in Christ. Again, in verse 15, Paul says to do all things without grumbling or questioning in order that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, on the one hand, these are virtues that we are to grow up into, but on the other hand, these are virtues that are ours already in Christ. And this really isn't a contradiction, because if you could sum up all the commands to Christian obedience in Scripture, they would all say with one voice this: be who you are in Christ. Every command that you see in Scripture, when it's a command for you to Christian obedience, can be summed up in this way: be who you are in Christ. These virtues are ours in Him. Jesus says in Matthew 5:14, you know this passage, you are the light of the world. This is who you are. And then two verses later, He says in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You are the light of the world. Now let your light shine. This is who you are. Now be who you are. That's what Christian obedience is about. We're not earning our salvation. We're not meriting our salvation. We're living out that salvation that is ours in Christ. And friends, when we grumble and complain, it contradicts the witness of who we truly are in Christ. Because in Christ, we are blameless. In Christ, we are innocent. In Christ, we are children of God. In Christ, we are without blemish. In Christ, we do shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and twisted and dark world. Now, live that way. As we avoid grumbling and complaining, it helps us bear witness to who we truly are in Christ. And when we don't do that, it hurts our witness. Firstly, of who we are in Christ. Secondly, it hinders our witness to the world. It hinders our witness to the world. Some commentators have seen here in this passage maybe an emphasis, certainly an implication of evangelism. When Paul talks about us shining as lights in the world. And I think that's a valid implication. And I think it's valid for a couple of different reasons to see evangelism, outreach, our witness to the lost. I think it's valid to see that here in this passage for a couple of reasons. First of all, it certainly fits with the broader context of Scripture. One of the motives, not the only motive, not the most meaningful motive, but one of the motives given to us in Scripture for why we are to live the way we are is so that we can bear witness to God and thereby commend the gospel. I mean, that's what Jesus said in the verse I just read. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I think what Jesus is saying there, live this way so that other people will see your life, and that will, in a humanly speaking sense, it will make the gospel attractive. Our lifestyle will adorn and commend the gospel. Certainly it's only by God's grace that anyone is saved. But God has ordained that as we live the way He's called us to live, that will commend the gospel to the lost. And so to see evangelism here as an implication, I think fits within the broader context of Scripture. I think it fits within the immediate context here. Paul has been talking about evangelism. He commends the Philippians earlier for partnering with him in the gospel. He rejoices because of the advance of the gospel. He commands these Philippians to strive side by side for the faith of the gospel. And so we can see evangelism here as an implication for that reason. And there are a few more, but I'll just focus on one more now. Some have seen here in this passage an allusion to Daniel 12, when Paul says that we shine as lights in the world. Let me read this passage from Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3. Daniel is looking forward, and he's seeing this day when the dead are raised. And this is what he says. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. You hear that echo that we just read in Philippians. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Part of what it means to shine bright is to turn many to righteousness. And so as we do all things without grumbling and complaining, our witness is not meant only to contrast with the world, but it's also meant to commend the gospel to the world. And when we grumble and complain, it hinders that. It hurts our witness. Now the fifth and final question. Does our grumbling and complaining hinder our worship? It dishonors God. It harms others. It harms us. It hurts our witness. Now fifthly, it hinders our worship. Paul says that we are to shine as lights in the world, verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Grumbling and complaining hinders our worship. What's going on here in these verses? Well, Paul's desire is that these Christians would persevere in holiness, so that when Christ returns to evaluate his people, Paul can stand there as a proud father, as it were, with these Philippians who had persevered to the end. Now, when Paul says that he wants to be proud, that's not a sinful pride. That's not a sinful boasting, because Paul so closely associated his work with Christ that for Paul to succeed was for Christ to succeed and for Christ to be glorified. Paul says in Romans 15:17, in Christ Jesus then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. So Paul's not having a sinful pride here. He knows that if these Christians persevere, it'll be because of what Christ has accomplished through him. And Paul describes this labor that he has for them in verse 17 as a drink offering. And he's using Old Testament sacrificial language of a drink offering. So that when a sacrifice was made, the priest would pour out a drink offering to the Lord, and that would accompany the main sacrifice. It would be in addition to, and it would complete that sacrifice. Well, Paul's saying, that's what my labor's like. I'm like the drink offering that's being poured out upon the sacrifice of your faith. And that really, I mean, that's a humble thing for Paul to say. When you think of the work and the labor that he's done in the Lord, he can look at what he's doing as merely the drink offering and what the Philippians are doing as the main sacrifice. Now, the takeaway for us is this. Our Christian life, everything we do, is a life of worship. It's a life of sacrificial worship. That's why Paul uses this language of sacrificial offering. Elsewhere in Romans 12, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, how? As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Our life is to be a life of sacrificial worship to God, so that everything we say and do becomes a sacrifice that we offer to God. The author to Hebrews, Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, through Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So the praise that we offer to God is a sacrifice that pleases him. And then it says, continuing now, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When we do good to other people, when we share what we have, that's a sacrifice that we offer to God. And I won't read it, but chapter 4, verse 18 of this book, Paul calls the gift that the Philippians give him a sacrifice. Friends, our Christian life, what we do from day to day, day in and day out, should be viewed by us as an offering up of ourselves and everything we have to God in sacrifice. It's a sacrificial worship. And it's also to be a joyful worship. So Paul says in verse 18, or verse 17, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Verse 18, likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is what God wants for us, to have a life of joyful, sacrificial worship. And when we grumble and complain, it hinders that, doesn't it? I mean, if there's one thing that will kill the joy in our lives, it's grumbling and complaining. It hinders our worship. So now we're back to the big question in conclusion. Does God view our grumbling and complaining as serious? Is it really that big of a deal to God? And the answer is yes, it is. It dishonors God. It harms others. It harms us. It hurts our witness. It hinders our worship. You say, okay, well, I'm convinced. I grumble and complain, and I need to address it by God's grace. What can I do? How can I begin to pursue addressing this particular issue? Let me give you a couple ways that you can begin addressing this in your heart. Number one, remember the gospel. Believe that grace is amazing. If you're here and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sealed with His Holy Spirit, you're united to Him by faith, you belong to Him. And remember, it's not your faithfulness that saves you. It's Christ's faithfulness that saves you. That's the gospel. That's grace. That's amazing grace. Do you believe that? Do you believe that grace is amazing? If there's one thing that will sweeten the things in our life that we're so ready to complain about, it's remembering that I am a child of God. And no matter what happens to me today, no matter what things come into my life that would cause me to complain, I have Christ. Remember the gospel. Remember that grace is amazing. Secondly, remember who you are and who you are becoming in Christ. If you look in the New Testament, indeed if you look in all of Scripture, you'll see that this is the way God moves His people to obedience. He says, this is who you are, now live this way. Be who you are in Christ. Remember who you are and who you are becoming. Thirdly, remember your witness to the world. I mean, this is a chief way that we shine bright for Christ. If you go through your life day to day without grumbling and complaining, will that look different than the people you work with? Will that look different than the people you go to school with? Will that look different than the people in your neighborhood? The people that you play sports with? Friends, this is how we shine bright in this world. We do all things without grumbling and complaining. I remember being in Virginia Beach a few years ago at General Assembly when our entire denomination comes together for a meeting once a year. This year it was at Virginia Beach, or that year. And we were there the whole week, staying at various hotels, and we had shuttle buses coming and picking all of us up and taking us and our children to the convention center and back. And the whole week goes, and we're there at the end of the week having a debrief, and one of the men is talking about the different compliments that he received from the hotel owners, the bus drivers. And he said, the one thing that he said that stood out to him that these non-believers, hotel owners, bus drivers said that really stood out, that he kept hearing over and over, was this. They were really surprised at how often people said thank you. Now, when you think about that, we do that all the time to one another. That stands out in this world. Something as small as looking a fellow human being in the face and saying, thank you. Not grumbling and complaining, that's probably what they hear so often. That's a way we shine bright in this world, is to do all things without grumbling and complaining. Remember our witness to the world. Lastly, turn your grumbling into gratitude. The things that I ask you to put in your mind, the things that you complain about, is there a way that you can turn those things into gratitude? I'll give you one illustration and then we'll close in prayer. Years ago, when I was in the military, I had a friend over to my house, to my apartment. He wasn't a believer, and I was looking in the refrigerator to get some food out. And we had a lot of food in the refrigerator. And so I had to pull things out of the fridge and move things around so that I could get whatever it was I was getting. And I complained. I said, I can't believe I've got to move all this food around and pull it out just to get this. And my friend looked at me and shook his head and said, wow, that's really something to complain about. I've got all this food. I mean, who in the right mind will complain about that? But that convicted me. Why in the world would I complain? That should have been something I thank God for. Thank you, Lord, that I have all this. That's what I'm saying we can do, is take those things that we complain about, that we grumble about, and turn them into opportunities for praise and gratitude. And let's, by doing that, shine bright for Christ in this lost, dark, crooked world. Pray with me. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word, which truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It truly is our daily bread by which we live, because it communicates to us the one who is that heavenly bread, the true nourishment of our souls, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Our satisfaction is in Him. And now may you work the grace within us to be a people who are free from grumbling and complaining. May we say with David, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." May that be the confession of all your people here this morning. In Christ's name, amen.